You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
And good morning. Do we have any announcements this morning? Okay, if there are no other announcements, we'll go to scripture reading. It's in Matthew 12, 38 through 40. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ's name and for his sake we pray. Amen.
Thank you all for your encouragement in Loops and the programs we have. And we've had a great year. Probably our real heartbeat at this point in time is what we call the Rec Room. I've told you about it before. It stands for Reentry Chapel. We've had to move this year, which is the second time we've moved. We outgrown two places. And we're having from about 80 to 100 every Thursday night. And with the exception of about 12 people, nobody has to come to this. There is one place that they either all come or they don't come. And so most of the guys want to come, but they have to be under supervision wherever they are, so they bring them all or they don't bring anybody. But with the exception of those 12 to 15 guys, everybody else is all a voluntary situation on their part. And so the attendance has been growing, and we're not doing anything different from what we did when we had seven. We're doing the same thing. We have refreshments like coffee and Cokes and cookies that are donated. We have music, and we have some good gospel music. We don't have 7-Eleven music. Somebody asked me here a while back, how can you tell a contemporary service? And I said, tacky clothes and weird hairdos and no Bible. But then we have speakers. And we also have invitations. We're dealing with people. Many of the people that come to this, we've got four chances to get the gospel to them. All of these people, as a rule, with the exception of some church people that started coming, and some of them tell us that that's now their Wednesday night Bible study, these people are coming out of drug and alcohol rehab. They're coming out of prison or coming out of jail or coming out of their own probation. Many of them are on parole. Some of them have never been to church in their life. Their family is their problem. Many of them are not going back home to family because of that reason. Once they get to know the Lord, they know that's the bad place for them to go. But we've had over 120 professions of faith since January 1 of last year. God is just, he's opened some real doors for us. And it's something that anybody can do anywhere. And it, like anything else, you know, Paul wrote to some people and he said, and I'm paraphrasing, but he said, I'm amazed you're so far removed from the simplicity that's in Christ. People try to complicate what Jesus did. And it really, it's very simple. And we tried to keep that simplicity in the Rec Room. And it's a little different group. It's an unusual group. Had one fellow come give his testimony. And after he talked, he come back in. He said, Leland, I've locked my keys in my pickup. And Linda said, what, call your wife? And he said, my wife's in Iowa. and I don't have another. He said, I don't know what I'm going to do. It's 8 o'clock at night. I said, just a minute. I walked outside. This was right after the meeting. I said, I need some help. I said, I've got a friend that's locked his keys in his pickup. And two or three of these people said, what kind of pickup is it? And I said, it's that one right over yonder. One of the fellows walked over, looked at it, took a radio arrow, unscrewed it, put it down, popped it down there, popped the lock open, put the radio arrow back on there, and walked off. I said, see, there's advantages of coming to the rec room. He said, I don't even know why I locked it. So they have some talents. I tell people that if you're not nice to me, I know folks that want your VCR. You got that kind of crowd around you, you get some protection anyway. But it's been an unusual year. Pray for us in this. We get to do things and say things that in most places we'd not be allowed to do. God has given us favor in some of these places that, and they're state supported, they're state funded, and we get to talk about Jesus Christ and Him alone for salvation. Now that's not a problem in the rec room because we're doing that. We can say whatever we want to. But five of my classes I could lose this coming week because we're saying things and talking about Jesus Christ, and we're doing it up front with Bible verses. And God has given us that freedom, and I never want to take that for granted. I don't know what I'd do if we were to lose it this week. And so just continue to pray for us. Thank you for your help, for your support, for your prayers, for your kindness. And we're in Matthew chapter 12. I want to talk to you about the sign of Jonah. Matthew chapter 12. We're beginning with verse 38. Twice in Matthew, Jesus refers to the sign of Jonas. The leaders of Israel have come to him and they've asked him for a sign. And that's all right, because Paul said Jews seek after a sign, Greeks seek after wisdom. They had a lot of signs, so they weren't totally honest in their seeking in the fact, and just a chapter behind this, they had come to Jesus. John the Baptist had sent his disciples to Jesus and said, are you the one, or should we look for another? And Jesus said, you go back and tell John that the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. He'd given them sign after sign and healing. These were signs of the Messiah, that he was the true Messiah when he comes. And Isaiah had pointed these things out. That's why that's why Christ said, you go tell John these things. Then John would know that the book of Isaiah was being fulfilled, because they prophesied that when the Messiah came, he'd heal the sick, he'd heal the lame, that he'd give sight to the blind, he'd give hearing to the deaf. And so they say to him, said certain of the scribes and Pharisees, verse 38, Matthew chapter 12, Master, we would see a sign from thee. And he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Hold in your finger there for a moment. Go with me over to the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew, beginning with verse 1. Matthew 16:1 said, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempted, desiring him that he would show them a sign from heaven. Now this is a little different sign. He wants to see a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it's evening, you say, it'll be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning, it'll be fair weather, foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. Jesus said, you get one sign. This is very unusual, this particular sign, simply because it's disbelieved by the lost and debated by the saved. And most of the time we miss the sign. Was Jonah fable or fact? And here's how Christ said it. He said, as Jonah, so shall the Son of Man be. If Jonah's not true, then Jesus' actions are not true. It's an as and so. You know this little, those two words appear a lot in the Bible. As this took place, so shall this take place. And he said, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. That was the sign. That's the only sign Jesus said he's going to give them. And he was going to give it to the whole wicked and adulterous generation. One sign. Now, what does this sign refer to? And everybody in here can answer that question. You know it refers to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That was, and by the way, that's the very essence of the gospel Paul taught. 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4, when we talk about the, because there are a lot of gospels in the Bible. What Jesus is doing, he's not talking about the gospel of the kingdom here. He's talking about the gospel that Paul is going to introduce. Paul said that his gospel was that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the scripture. So here is a sign, actually, for all time. One thing that he gave them, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we put all the emphasis on the cross, and you can't have the resurrection without the cross. I don't wear crosses. Every now and then somebody, they used to give them to me in ways of necklaces, and if you wear one, I'm not fussing, okay? I'm just saying. Somebody said, well, what would you wear, smart aleck? I said, give me an empty tomb. I'd like that part. Because salvation is not complete until we recognize he died for our sins and he rose again the third day. And it's all according to the scripture. He put in writing. And just as he did here, and there's a book of Jonah dealing with Jonah's situation in the belly of the whale or the fish. We'll talk about that just in a moment. But this is the very essence of Paul's gospel. Now, is it fact or fable? Did a whale really swallow a man and then throw him up in 3 days? And there are people that argue about this. Now, we don't argue about that. We say, yeah, we believe that. What we argue about is whether it's a whale or a big fish. Well, you know, a whale is a mammal. Where'd you get that? Do you know the origin of that? About 200 years ago from man. We're big on rightly dividing the world. Let me show you how God divided that for us. Turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. Because, by the way, in Jonah, chapter 1, it says God prepared a big fish. In Jonah, chapter 2, it tells us that they threw Jonah overboard and that fish got him, swallowed him, and then threw him up on dry ground 3 days later. But Genesis chapter 1, then let's look at verse 20. Genesis 1, verse 20. God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that have life and fowl, that they may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. Notice two types of beings are mentioned here, fish and fowl. Let's continue. And God created great whales. By the way, this is, as far as I know, the only animal, fowl, or fish that God named. Now, he might have named all the fish, and we'll see that in a minute. But we know already you're thinking ahead because Adam named the fowls and the beast. But notice whales are mentioned before Adam is created. God named them. So I'm pretty sure that Jesus knew what he's talking about when he said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. I don't know how much Greek Jesus knew. But I can tell you right now, he knew what he's talking about. I know he knew Scripture. So, before man is ever created, he said he created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth. Now, he's not talking about every creature on the ground. He's talking about those creatures that the waters bring forth after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw it was good, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Mankind has not been created yet. Beasts of the field have not been created yet. This is the fifth day. Now let's go to the next day. Verse 24 said, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And then he said, let us make man in our image. And I'm going to skip to down to verse 30. Or even verse 31, it said he giveth evergreen herd for meat, and it was so. Verse 31, last verse said, God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good in the evening and the morning, were the sixth day. So, God's division was fowl for the sky, fish for the sea, and anything in the sea was going to be called moving creatures in the sea, not mammals versus fish and fowl. Fowl and the fish were created on the fifth day. Man and beast of the field were created on the sixth day. God divided them. And so just like the whale was a big fish, and the big fish was whale. Everybody in here is an American. But all Americans are not Okies. Y'all don't. Some of y'all didn't know that. You thought everybody was from Oklahoma, but we got people in Texas. Thank everybody from Texas. So you could. The Old Testament says big fish. Jesus said whale. They're one in the same. If you got a poodle, is it a dog or not? See. Now, all the fish were not whales. I'm sure they had speckled trout. But the whale was a fish. And just because that man said, well, no, this man's division is not God's division. God has already divided that up. And as we want to say that any fish could not have swallowed Jonah, and someone in many of those that think it's a fable. And remember, he said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. As and so. And as he said that, people say, no way that a man could live in the belly of the fish. So we're assuming now that man lived in the belly of the fish. What happened to Christ on the cross? See, he died and was buried. If you look at Jonah chapter 2 and go to Ezekiel and Daniel and Hosea, we can find those pretty good and just keep going to the right. Amos, Obadiah, and then Jonah. And notice in Jonah 2:1 said, then Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of my affliction and unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell. Cried I, and thou heardest my voice, for thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet will I look again toward the holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. So now we're dealing with the soul of Jonah, not the body of Jonah. He said, the depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. I went to the bottoms of the mountains, the earth, and the bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption. Jonah died. But God brought him back in 3 days. You remember when Christ, when Lazarus died? And Jesus waited. He'd heard that he's sick. He waited. He went. Mary and Martha said, Lord, if you'd have been here, he'd have never died. Nobody, it never touched anybody or was brought to the mind of anybody that even if he's dead, Christ can raise him back. But you said if you'd have been here, this would not have happened. You could have healed him. He wouldn't have died. But Christ walked down and said, roll the stone away. Martha said, man, you can't do that. He's been in there 4 days. He stinketh. Because after 3 days, the body began to corrupt. Jonah says, he's brought me out of corruption. See, for it to be a type of Christ, Jonah's got to be resurrected. It can't be an as and so if Jonah just somehow existed and came out of the fish. He said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights. His soul is alive, his body is dead, just like Christ was. So it was that Christ went and preached to those that were in prison. Not his body. His body laid 3 days and three nights in that tomb. Something else we might pick up here. He didn't say he laid 3 nights and 3 days. He laid 3 nights and 3 days, not 3 days and then three nights. That's the order he gives in both situations, Matthew 12, Matthew 16. So God's counting started with a night or with a day. So he's got to count part of a day as a whole day, which was normal. 3 days, three nights. And I don't care how you count it in this situation, you'll never get to Friday. That won't work at all. So don't talk to me about Good Friday. That never works. I think the only way it will work is from Thursday, but I know the Author Companion Bible said Wednesday, but I can't get 3 days and three nights. I can get three nights and 3 days there, but I can't get 3 days and three nights. And this is the sign that we still have. How does a person get saved? In 2007, Paul said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe him then in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. His gospel was that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scripture. He said, this is the only sign you're going to get. A lot of you people are looking for this sign, that sign. But the only sign that's going to make any difference. I had a friend back. I went to college with him. He came. He'd been in the Navy. He was Navy All-American. And he came to our college, and I'd never seen anybody with duck tails. This is before wild hair was norm. And this guy had that black hair and had it. It was greasy looking. And he had it pulled back and had those duck tails back there. One of the foul-mouthed guy I ever met in my life. You could tell he'd been in the Navy. And he was just, and he was about 4 years older than the rest of us. And, man, he was just sorry. And I hadn't been saved very long. And he just kind of baffled me. But he also kind of became a challenge to a lot of people to pray for him. And he'd laugh at you. You'd invite him to church. But finally, we just bugged him so much that he went. And I'll never forget. He didn't really go with me. I just happened to be there that night. I was kind of afraid to be around him. But some other guys brought him. And he sat at the back. And it was a church maybe not, maybe as far from here to the back wall where the pews were. It was not a big church. And had an old-fashioned preacher. His English was not much better than mine, but boy, he could preach. And he started giving that invitation, and I began to hear a noise. And this guy's name, we called him Louis the Rat. His nickname was the Rat because he was so filthy. Filthy and dressed filthy and talked filthy in his room. He just filthy. Louis the Rat. Never will forget Louis the Rat. And Louis the Rat crawled on his hands and knees, weeping, down the aisle. Years later, the reason I moved from Dallas to Oklahoma City, because Louis the Rat had come up and wanted me to go in business with him. We moved down there, and he thought he had cancer one time. Louis is dead now. His name was Louis Hope. Louis is dead now. But Louis, we were just kind of reminiscing. He said, Leland, I failed as a daddy. He said, I failed as a businessman. I failed as a coach. I failed as a person. I failed as a husband. I failed in a lot of different things. But he said, you know what? Tears rolled down his cheeks, and he said, the only thing that makes any difference at all, I got right. I'm going to heaven. One of our ladies that you hear us talk about, who the grandma who raised the 4 great-grandkids and 3 grandkids because their parents were in prison, always has a happiness and a joy about her. Somebody, one of the ladies asked her, said, Bert, her name's Bert, got a man's name. She said, Bert, how come you're always so happy with all the problems you got? And she said, many years ago, Jesus Christ saved my soul from hell. Everything else been icing on the cake. The sign of Jonah. There's only one sign going to be given to the world, he said. A sinful and adulterous generation, because that's the only way out of a sinful and adulterous generation. Jesus Christ, and that's still the message today. That still turns prisoners free. That still turns the addicted free. That still turns the drunk sober. That still does the thing. Just whatever we need. Salvation. And this is the message we try to present constantly. Because we don't have anything to work with until they've got that far. Until we get them saved, we can have all the 12-step programs that we want. But until we get people saved, nothing's going to work. We can get them debt-free. We can get them calm, cool, and collected as they go to hell. But until we get this message to them. So, thank you. It's the only sign that makes any difference. And he said, here's the only one I'm going to give you. As Jonah was, so shall the Son of Man. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful that you take care of our problems, whether real or perceived. Lots of times we just have perceived problems. They're not real. But they seem real to us. Instead of chiding us, you just take care of them. Sometimes we have real problems. And you handle those too. Whatever we're facing. And there's always problems. They're always going to come. We go the way of all flesh, sickness and sorrow and burdens and age and heartache. But you said that the suffering of this present time was not worthy to be compared to the glory that'd be revealed in us. And what's amazing about that, it all is happening because the Son of Man was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. That you made us a way to heaven. Thank you for that. Bless you people here today. Bless each one as they leave here to make a living, to fight health problems, to fight financial problems, to fight the type of things that come up constantly. Help us to realize that you're in control and that you'll not give us a serpent and you'll not give us a rock, but you take care of us. Thank you for that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you all.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.